A woman in Japan has started an Instagram account dedicated to sharing images of where her husband leaves rubbish around the house. A used popper by the door, tissues next to, not in the bin, a beer can in the shower. And I know that sometimes it can be good fun, maybe a joke between the two of them, but when does public shaming your partner, your friends, your family go from the realm of joking to something else? Tara Whitewood from The Sugar Doctor, our relationship coach, is with us this morning. Good morning.
Good morning, Kaya.
What do you make of the Instagram account?
I haven't had a look at it yet. I think it sounds very funny.
Except for him, maybe.
And, well, that's the question.
Is
How
he
does
on board?
Her husband feel about it? I can imagine that if he were not feeling comfortable about it, that having international hilarity at his
viral.
Expense might be an uncomfortable position to be in.
Yeah. It's next level to take an Instagram account instead of just picking up the rubbish of then taking a photo of it and sharing it. And telling the world, oh, he's done it again.
Right? I think, although almost it's a natural extension of what we already do, which is escalate our private lives into a public space sometimes for many reasons. But, you know, it again, it always comes back to how do the individuals feel about it. I mean, you see people like, I'm terrible with celebrity names, Blake Lively and her
Ryan Reynolds.
Hilarious, yeah, I always get the wrong Ryan. Ryan
yeah,
Reynolds.
The other Ryan. One of the Ryans.
Hugely competitive and kind of there's that banter and a lot of that's very public. And they are people who I think really enjoy it. They have a very high level of resilience. Pranks are hilarious to them.
It never gets into the nasty, though. It usually is humorous life quips. And it does feel like there's a really fine line, though.
Yeah, I think so. And I think particularly in Australia, we really do have that culture of banter, particularly in workplaces. And I'm not personally a very big fan of it at all because I just think that that line is so often crossed from banter into bullying and we don't recognise when we're stepping over it.
Talking to Dan and Jenny about it this morning as well, Jenny made a really interesting point that one day it might be okay, but another day your emotional resilience might be down a little bit and that's when it feels like a knife to the heart.
Yeah, exactly right. And the response of our bodies and our minds and our hearts to that feeling of shame is super profound. There's been a lot of research around the impact of shame on individuals, and shame is one of the core emotions or responses that causes depression, grief, anxiety, addiction, particularly addiction, and violence. In some research that was done with some prisoners, some violent prisoners, murderers, actually shame was one of the key responses that was common to all of them. So that experience of feeling, Brené Brown defines it as the intensely painful feeling or experience of believing that we're flawed and therefore unworthy of love and belonging. So that feeling of shame, instead of being directed internally, being directed towards someone else.
Is that worse than when it comes from someone in your trust circle?
I don't think it's ever very nice, but I think what happens when it comes from someone in your trust circle is they very clearly know what your triggers are, they know what your sensitivities are, and so the target for them of humour is just so much more pointed that it gets right to, you know, it gets right to the core of you.
You've mentioned a couple of times in there, you know, if they're on board, like if the husband of the Japanese woman is on board, what does that look like? Being on board.
I think it looks like having some really clear conversations about is that funny or is that not funny, and also having the self-esteem and resilience to be able to say, hey, when you said that last night when we were out, I really didn't find that funny. I found that embarrassing. I felt uncomfortable in front of our friends and I'd really rather you didn't speak about me like that. It's that simple. And, you know, that's where the conversation starts. Then you need to be looking at why is someone making a joke like that? To me, I think that in every relational interaction, you have an opportunity to either give significance, that is to build the other person up, or to get significance, which is to make you seem bigger and better. And very often we choose to give ourselves significance, to get significance at the expense of someone else. And I just don't understand why. I think, you know, I'm very, very purposeful when I go somewhere with my partner that when I speak about him, I'm going to tell people the cool stuff he's been doing. I'm going to say, hey, he's done this amazing thing or he's wonderful because he does this. Because I just feel like, why would I waste that opportunity to make him feel good by making myself feel good and him bad in that same moment.
I think it's really interesting as well when you hear someone who is self-deprecating and saying, oh, you know, my side, for me, it's always like, yeah, my side of the bed. That's the messy side. Yes. That's just where the stuff goes. But everywhere else in my life, I'm really tired. But that side of my bed, that's mine to be as messy with as I need to be in that moment. But if my husband said that, I might feel uncomfortable with that. How, like, yeah, is there
a
difference?
There's no real rules around, you know, what's funny and what's not, other than what you're comfortable with.
Yep.
So it does depend on your own emotional resilience. It depends on your own shame triggers. So your history of how people have treated you and how you felt about that. And those are really important conversations to have with a partner so that they know kind of what's safe ground and what's not safe ground. In terms of humor, particularly, so if we were to take this into a workplace, I have come from a background where I worked in kitchens, in pubs. I worked in the construction and mining industries. And in those environments, banter is a core of how people relate to each other.
Mm.
And it's often very mean and it's often very targeted. And there's this sense that, you know, if you don't laugh, then you can't take a joke and then you're not, you know, you're not part,
you're
excluded, you're not in the crew.
Yep.
So people don't have an opportunity to say, hey, that's not cool, that's not funny, I don't feel good about that. Whether it's about the way someone looks, whether it's about their ethnicity, their background, whether it's about their sexuality, all of those things are fair game in those environments. And they're environments that have a high level of bullying in culturally embedded. So I think one leads to the other. I think that the humour that we laugh at is the standard that we accept. And so when we start saying it's okay for you to speak like that to your partner.
It's 13 minutes away from 10. You're with Kaya Hanley on ABC Newcastle. We're talking relationships with Tara Whitewood from The Sugar Doctor today. Our topic is it ever okay to shame a loved one? Anika says, this is why emotional intelligence is so crucial for every human to understand, because that line is different for different individuals. Emotional intelligence gives a person knowledge to be able to identify that you've said enough before it becomes a personal attack. Does it change as well when we're on our own as, say, a couple and then in that group environment?
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, what might be comfortable at home because maybe it's an in-joke for you or it's something that you talk about suddenly can become a little bit less comfortable in public. Also, I see a lot of couples when I socialise with them who use that environment as an opportunity to have digs at their partner. It's like it's a way to make a point. And if everyone laughs, then they can go home and say, well, everyone didn't think that was okay. You know, it's a very passive aggressive way of addressing something.
Oh, we're complicated humans, aren't we?
We are complicated humans. But I always will just come back to, you know, I love a joke as much as anyone else. And I think, are you being clever and are you being funny? Because if you're being clever and funny, surely you can find something to direct it at that doesn't hurt someone else.
Mm.
Like, why are you using this lazy form of humour where you need to take someone down in order to get a laugh? That I just don't really understand.
You've talked about, you know, having that brave conversation with your partner if that's happening there. What happens if you're that third wheel in that group? If you're in that group environment and you're seeing maybe a couple do this to each other and one of them's clearly being upset, how do you address it as the friend, the family member, the third wheel in that environment? Yeah. Or can't you?
Privately, privately, privately. Privately, privately,
what?
Privately.
Don't stand up in the middle of the restaurant and make a scene? Tara, I'm surprised.
To be privately, privately, privately. So I would pull that person aside privately.
The person who is doing the joking?
Yeah, the person who's doing the joking. Or maybe you just want to check in. Mm. You know, maybe you want to check in with the other person. Hey, did you feel uncomfortable? I felt kind of uncomfortable. It seemed like maybe you did. Was that okay for you? You don't need to go in and rescue them. But if the other person's your friend and they're doing it to everyone, you might say, hey, you know, the way that you're speaking to people is really out of line. It makes people feel uncomfortable, makes me not want to have you around so much. Can we talk about that? But, you know, you want to make sure that you're not doing that in a shaming way as well, because they might not realize that that's happening.
Mm.
So I don't think that the intention behind the joke is always malicious. I think that a lot of the time people just don't realize what they're doing.
Yeah.
So, you know, we've been very clear and your listeners have been very clear that shaming a partner is not okay. But what I think we're not as clear about is what what constitutes shaming. So, you know, what the joke is that's a shaming joke. And that's really about having dialogue with people around you and identifying, hey, that wasn't really very cool. Or, you know, you might not know this about that person. You think that's funny, but this is something that's happened to them before. Mm. This is their history. And you're really pushing a hot button right now.
Similar to what Anika says, is that it's different for everyone. That line is very different depending on who you are and who you're with.
Yeah, exactly right. And you know, you see in a work environment where people all get together, and then it becomes a little bit even like it's a gang thing. It's like a gang bullying. Everyone sort of directs it towards that one person. Mm. I'll tell you too that I've not had a single client ever who's not had an experience of shaming in a public place in that way, and very few of them would speak up. So while we can, as a group, say, oh, we're just having a laugh, you know, you don't know what people are thinking and feeling when they go home.
And again, you never want to be that left out person, so you're probably going to laugh at it as well, even if you are the expense of the joke, until it gets to a point that you break.
100%. And, you know, I'm just as guilty of this as anyone else. Like I said, coming from that background, I always thought that I was very funny and very clever, very cutting humour, and I would go on the offence. You know, I would – offence is the best defence, they always say. So, you know, whether it was taking the mickey out of myself or someone else, I would always do that. But in order to do that, you need to be somewhat armoured to be able to sort of survive that environment, and that's actually a really big barrier to connection. Mm. So what we're doing, I mean, shaming is on the opposite end of the spectrum from empathy. So what we're really doing is we're keeping people out. We're not getting closer. So what I'd ask you to think about when you're speaking to your partner, when you're trying to decide where that line is this a trigger or a source of insecurity for your partner? You should know that. Is this a source of an argument? Like, is this something that we're currently disagreeing about? Are you just point scoring right now? And will you feel more or less connected as a result of saying that? You know, we have in jokes, and when we tell them, you and I have in jokes, me and my partner have in jokes, and when we tell them, we laugh and we feel closer. But there are things that I know I could say that when I said it, I might laugh and the people around me might laugh, but we would not be more connected as a result. So yeah. I would be making that choice when I'm deciding whether to speak.
And there is a way to retrain ourselves if we are the person who maybe does accidentally throw out some shaming and haven't realised that it's an issue until right now.
Hugely, hugely. I mean, be kind to yourself. It's a cultural thing. It's a part of our society. It's the way that we've grown up, particularly in Australia. It's the case, the tall poppy syndrome. You know, you always want to keep everyone on the same level.
I'm just grounded. Them. I'm making just sure that they them. Stay humble.
Yeah, all of that stuff. Just realizing, you know, maybe there's another way to do this. Maybe what I'm saying isn't funny, and maybe I could be funnier in a different way. You know, it gives you an opportunity to work on your comedic skills, and it gives you an opportunity to work on your skills around connection.
Yeah. Is it about not waiting until it, like, maybe you can go home and be like, hey, the things that I say and that I know that I can make jokes, is that upsetting to you? Or are you okay with it? Is that where you start if you think maybe you're on the other side?
Absolutely. And just to have an awareness, like a go around, you know, when you're next in a social situation, notice how people are interacting. Notice how your married or partnered friends are interacting with each other. And notice, you know, the look on someone's face when a joke is told. You know, are they feeling like they need to jump to their own defence? Mm. So become aware and then start thinking about it. And maybe just be quiet for a while. You know, if you think of something funny, maybe just bite your lip and run it through the filter of, am I creating connection here? Or am I undercutting someone else?
Yeah. Dennis says, never. I think it should apply to exes too. That's a whole nother ball game.
Whole nother ball game, but and yes.
Yeah. Short answer, yes. Tara, always great to chat. Thanks for coming in. We'll catch up with you next week.
Pleasure.
From the Sugar Doctor, that is relationship coach Tara Whitewood.